So today, I'll tell you something that's been in my heart, something we've been really actively practicing now for some time. The Lord, sometimes you just start doing something when you're in prayer and in a mountain, and suddenly it just becomes an operation. And so I want to talk to you about the power of reassignment today. Let me just begin with this. Go to Isaiah 43. We'll start there. Hallelujah. God has a part. You have a part. A lot of people get the idea that God's going to do everything. We don't do anything. That's not the way that works. We have a part to play, but it's how we do it that makes the difference. Amen. Let's begin with Isaiah 43, and then I'm going to talk about reassignment. Verse 18, it says, remember you not the former things. There comes a time, and neither consider the things of old. There has to come a time that the former things pass away. And behold, I do a new thing, and it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I'll make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So I do a new thing. Even when the children of Israel passed the Jordan, he said, circumcise again all those that came out of the wilderness. And the reason he did that is that circumcision was a foreshadowing of the removing of old things, the beginning of new things. What God was looking for from them was the beholding of a new day. They passed over. They're just on the edge of the promised land. But he said these waters, he said, for this day, I roll away the reproach of Egypt. There has to be a rolling away of the past. There comes a time in your life you cannot carry it anymore. You have to be completely detached. It doesn't matter what you went through. You went through earlier in this chapter, he said you went through the fire, you went through the waters. It doesn't matter what you went through. It doesn't matter the mistakes you made. What matters is whether or not you shift out from that place into the new place. That shift, there are certain things that take place in that shift. The primary catalyst of that shift is faith. Say faith. But faith needs something to shift. You can't just shift into a new day without seeing the new day. That's why he says, behold, you have to see what God has done. Just like in their wilderness, he's telling them what the promised land looks like. God will provide you with light. In our dispensation, we get to see the invisible realm. We see it in a different, we don't see it with these eyes. We see it with the eye of our heart, but that alone is not enough. The eye of our heart has to be inspired by the word of God. We have to have light, not just written logos. We have to have rhema light, where the light bulb comes on, where God lights you up to see a new thing. See, behold a new thing. See, all things pass away. That's one thing. There's a grave involved, but then there has to be a resurrection. You can't just live in the grave all the time. If all you're doing is dying, 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 you're just going to live a miserable life. You have to live, and you have to reassign to that life. There are things that have to die, and there are things that must live. And he's the one that separates those things. So the first thing he says in this word is, behold, I do a new thing. I'm going to read this again. He says, remember you not former things. There's literally a divorce from the past. You know how many people wear mistakes, trespasses? You know how many people wear a trespass? You know what a trespass is? The difference between a trespass and unforgiveness? You say, forgive us of our trespasses. A trespass is like a level of betrayal or trauma, a traumatic event that takes place to such a degree, it breaks something in you. And oftentimes with that, a spirit will bind that trespass to the person. A spirit will come in. So you're not just dealing with levels of needing to forgive somebody or release something. A spirit's involved. And what the spirit does is locks the trespass into the soul. And if people don't get free of that, what they end up doing is living their life bound to something 20 years ago, bound to something 30 years ago. And it literally will build strongholds. That's what a trespass is. It'll build strongholds. And so you can't just say, I forgive the person, because you're locked up. You have to deal with multiple levels and the spirit involved with it. And a lot of times with children, traumatic events, we go through things with fathers or something, there are things that get locked up. And when a spirit gets involved, it'll lock up and then build a whole other personality around that trespass. And those things, those are just some of the things that have to be loosed. Some of the things that we have to walk away from. And that's why there's a Jordan. When you always see a Jordan, when you see a Jordan, it means old things are passing away. When God moves you through a Jordan, that means He's rolling away the reproach of the former day. There has to be that rolling away. Otherwise, we wear something we're not designed to wear. And you can't wear old things in the new day. They'll restrict, they'll bind, and they'll keep you from moving in. So we have to loose, say loose. There, you have a part, God has a part. God already finished it. God already did it. God completed it. Amen? So what we have to do first, before we start actively involved, we have to see who we are, see what He's done, and the thoroughness of what He's done. This is why you'll hear me say this every time I get up. When God gave us the Face of God revelations, it just changed the whole way I did faith. Because I was always operating on the wrong side of the equation. I was operating as God's going to do this. Like, if this pole, I always use this pole as the finished work, I'm always operating here. I'm trying to get over. I'm trying to get over. You see what I'm saying? One day God's going to get me over there. How many have understand one day faith? One day faith will never get you there because you're still one day. One day. I don't know if this is, my dad had a saloon and, my natural father had a saloon in, New Braunfels. I remember going there as a kid and it said free beer tomorrow. Free beer. It was a sign there because it's always tomorrow, not today. So it's all, I don't know if that's a good analogy, but I just, so anyway, it's tomorrow. Say tomorrow. But you can't ever arrive to one day because you're still on the wrong side of the equation. So what God does in the face of God, He completes and He actually can bring you across that finish line and allow you to stand in the end. See, when you, or, and then you operate from this place. Now what's going to happen when you learn to operate, and I'll show you in a minute, because we're going to do this. We operate from this place, then where you actually are, there comes a time, if you stand here long enough in this finished realm, can you see me over here? Anyway, when you stand over here, what'll actually happen, if you do this long enough, it'll call you where you actually are. It'll actually command you forward. Because that's how faith works. Faith will pull you into a realm that's already done. So the first thing is, behold, I do a new thing. So there's two major elements I like to focus on. Both the death, burial, and the resurrection. So go to Romans 6. When you understand Christ's death, it's not so bad if you understand how to operate with it. If you don't, then what you do is you try to die on your own. See, how many of you know there's certain things that need to die? Raise your hand. How many of you ever struggle with something and it just seems to, and you keep struggling and keep struggling because you're trying to fix that thing in the natural. And kingdom things don't get fixed with natural human sufficiency. Kingdom things get fixed from a position that's already done. And when we learn the done position, both the death and burial of the old man and the resurrection of the new can be accomplished by faith. Amen. So Romans 6, so what we're going to do is first we have to understand who we are, what's been done. You have to see what's been done. If we don't see what's been done, you can't go stand over there. That's why I say get in the face of God and listen to it. Learn how the face of God works. Because the face of God is finished. Every Tuesday right before I pray, when Raylan will see me walk in, she'll start singing the face of God. Because it just sets me up. She'll just do it. It doesn't matter. I'll be standing here and I know she'll start singing the face of God. And standing before His face and the things that are done. Amen. When we learn, that's how He birthed out, by the way, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He birthed them out from the face of God, from the completed realm. It's first we have to see, say see, that I have given. That's the model. That was the Jericho model. That's what the Lord said. I can only do what I see my Father doing. See what he's been given. We have to see who we are, see what's been done, and then enter into that equation by faith. So the first thing is to see. The second thing is to enter into the equation. Amen. It's not enough to see. You've got to get your faith into that equation. Because God's equation's done, but you got to step into that realm and stay in that realm until who you actually are in the natural follows you into freedom. Amen. So today we're talking about freedom because it's Freedom Day. Hallelujah. So in Romans 6, it's just amazing. Verse 3, we'll start verse 3. It says, know you not, so many of us, notice his wording here. We're baptized unto Jesus Christ. We're baptized unto his death. Not going to be, but already were. Say, already were. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism. That's actually a good thing because he's not talking actually about you in the way that who you really are. He's talking about your old man. He's the one that separates these things. Therefore, buried with him in baptism, like as Christ was raised from dead, the glory of the Father, even so we were raised in newness of life. Therefore, planted together in the likeness of his death, we are also in the likeness of the resurrection. You see the two elements there. One is buried or planted together. The other one has been raised. Because you're an integral being, God did something. Your spirit was born again, but he left you in a body that's not actually born again. But legally, it has been born again, but not actually yet. Purchased wise, he has. Because he says in Romans, to him who's been justified, to them they were glorified. So legally, he finished it all. But in reality, just natural reality, I'm born again. I have this super awesome new man inside of me, made in the image of God, that can do things that in the natural nobody could do. I mean, God, you were born in a God class. You just were. He let us make man. So he restored this, but he kept that and he stuck it up into a body that still belongs to this world. And your soul, oh man, your soul, it could go both ways. And your soul can ride in the heavenlies and give glory to God and then suddenly just sink down into the lowest parts. Because your soul will just ride with whatever circumstance is being presented. Or your mind, when I say soul, mind, will, emotions. Emotions are crazy. How many know your emotions were not born again? Don't you wish at least he would have had our emotions born again? Just the emotions, Lord, if you just put our emotions over there in the spirit class, they'd have been really good. But all of those things have to be shifted into the new day. Your emotions can go dwell in the old day. Your body can dwell in the old day. Now, here's the thing about our bodies that we know, and the older we get, we figure this out. Our bodies don't work the way they used to. We wake up sometime and go, what is that? And sometimes I'm waking up, I'm like, what is going on? Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about. It's like bodies don't. So when you already know your body's headed down that pathway, we need to do something. Because I don't want to start administering faith when my body's already broken down. I want my faith to be alive. So if something happens to my body, I'm ready. So first I have to see, what did you do for this body, Lord? Well, Chuck said it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of them are more ancient temples and some of them are newer temples. But they're temples of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now the body, because it belongs to this world, it gets subject to things. The body pressure, your body can take in a lot of things. And the foods and all the stuff we eat. I mean, you can focus on that forever. Because Anna, she gets on the internet and she's always the newest thing. You know, you can't do this, can't do that. I can't handle all that. But she's a master at it. It's awesome. To me, I eat a lot of junk food. I still eat a lot of junk food. But my body, I do something with it though. We got to figure out What did God do with this body of mine? Well, legally, he actually glorified this body. Christ brought your body into the day of the resurrection with him. In fact, he said in John, the glory, Father, you've given me. I'm returning to the glory. Now he's a man with a body, but he says, I return and the glory you've given me, I have given them. To him who's justified, them who glorified. And what I like to see is the Mount of Transfiguration. There's incredible mysteries there in the Mount of Transfiguration because God actually moved that mountain past our day. It was just the most amazing revelation. Peter bore witness, and when he wrote about it in Peter, he said, when we made known unto you the glory, when we made known unto you the eyewitness revelation of Christ, he goes, we were not telling you old fables, but we were eyewitnesses of the majestic glory. He actually said, when we made known unto you the coming of the Lord. Why would he say the coming of the Lord? And in the third chapter, he said second coming. He called the second coming. He goes, we weren't talking about old wise fables. We were eyewitnesses of his second coming. Do you know right before the Mount of Transfiguration? These are real important revelations. Right before he said, there'll be some among you. You'll not taste death till you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And the scholars do not know what to do with that. And then what he takes, three of those are among them, Peter, James, and John, he takes them up into the mountain with him. And they witness the glory of the second coming king. Because Peter said, when we made known unto you the coming of the Lord, we were eyewitnesses of the majestic glory. Where we were with him on the mountain. They saw the second coming of the Lord that hasn't even happened yet. Man, how'd you like to be John? I don't know, he saw that. He got caught up through a door and he lived the whole book of Revelation. He was there in person. He walked the whole thing out. I don't know how all that works in the kingdom. It's crazy how a father can transport somebody 2,000 years in time and they actually live and relate to something that hadn't even happened yet, because in the kingdom it has happened. John wept at the throne. He was there. He saw the book open. He saw the book open that hadn't been opened yet. It hadn't been open, but it was open. Because there, it's all done. I don't understand how the Father lives with himself, honestly. He lives in eternity, past, present, and future all at one time. And then, whoosh, moves men through it. He can move you through time. Remember when Jesus was on the mountain? He sent his disciples in the boat, and he watched them from the mountain rowing. Row harder, boys! And the storm came and they rowed for 7.5 hours, 8 hours, and they made it across. It was a 7 mile stretch. They made it across. It'll be 3.5 miles. They were mid sea in 7 hours time. And Jesus, he was actually going to walk right by them. He wasn't even going to stop. He was just walking. He sends them on the boat and he just walks on the water. I mean, he's got his express, and Peter sees him. He said, Master. And you know, Peter steps out, actually walks on the water. You got to give the guy credit. He walked on the water until he actually observed what he was doing. He started sinking. And the Lord pulls him up and he's still on the water. And the Lord's having a conversation with him. Why did you doubt? And Peter's going, wait a minute. I'm standing on water. You're telling me I'm doubting. I got waves crashing in. And then the Lord said, peace, be still. Bam, the hole. And he gets in the boat and it says immediately there on the other side. He transported 12 disciples, a big boat, and in a second time they were transported through time. God owns time. He moves us through. So the quality of the human spirit that's born again can move in these dimensions. But they move by revelation of what's happened. So when Peter said we made known as the eyewitness, what the Lord actually did, he took his body. And because what did he tell John and them in John 11? I am the resurrection, he told Martha, remember? She goes, yeah, in that day we know he'll be raised. He goes, I am that day. Say, I'm the resurrection. And to prove it, he calls Lazarus out from the grave. But this time he walks over and he takes his natural body he was born with and he walks it into the resurrection. And when he walks into the resurrection, glorified on the mountain, God, the Father comes down. The Father doesn't come down very often. The Father comes down and witnesses that this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. This is what man looks like. Man's redemption's complete. Of course, he was going to have to pay the price, but the two witnesses, the three, all five of them were there. The law, the prophets, and the New Testament apostles were witnessing man's completion. Because what he was actually doing is showing you what you will look like in the new day. When your body is freed from the law of sin, when your body's freed from the earth and its systems, when your body's freed and life burst out of your body. So, all that said, I see I have already been given a new body. Now, you're either going to do this. You're either going to stand on this side of the equation or the other side. Because I know it's over there. How many of you know it's over there? How many know there's a day of resurrection? The Bible says you're joint heir. In Romans 8, he was specifically saying you're joint heir with him. In the day of resurrection, he already made you joint heir. Now I can stand on this side of the equation or I can reassign my body over there. And the way I do it is I know he says you've been buried with him. So in the Jordan, we take our old man and put him down. Right? Buried. But the new man, now it's not just spirit, it's spirit, soul, and body. Are going to be reassigned to that day. So when I'm moving up into the Father, after I go through this love and things, and unless he just totally intercepts me in the love, he does that often. You just can't go any further. But if you're not, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, by faith, walk over to the new day. And by faith, I'm going to stand with him in that mountain. I'm telling you, folks, if you learn to do this, your body will start cooperating with you. Your body won't wake up in pain. Your body will start exhibiting youth. It's just the way it is. Because you're actually reassigning it to a new day. I'm reassigning it to what's already, what is truth? Am I already in Romans glorified? He said, to him who was justified, to them he glorified. Say glorified. Shout it, glorified. If this body's glorified, then somewhere it's glorified. So the only thing between this body and glorified is time. Right? Time. So I can wait for my time to come, or I can just go stand over there. Church doesn't teach people anything anymore, really. We should be learning these realms. I mean, how awesome is that? To go put your body and plant it into the day of the resurrection. So I'm going to read Romans 6 again. And I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you. Amen. I'm excited. Verse 11. Look at this. Likewise, reckon. Say reckon. There's got to be a reckon. Reckon is an action on your part. There has to be something that you do. Say, reckon. Yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon your old man into the Jordan. But your new man, new body, new soul, new mind, new heart. Alive unto God. Say, alive unto God in Christ. So reckon means there's an action. And that action means that I can literally reassign. Say reassign. So the Bible says you've been made a partaker of the heavenly calling. Say heavenly calling. He also says you've been made a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. He also says you've been made a partaker of the divine nature. All of those realms are not this realm. They're another realm that you have been made a partaker of. Say, I'm a partaker of the divine nature. Do you know the final move of God? It's amazing. Will be the move of life. God will end the ages with life. He's going to destroy and swallow up death with life. Death cannot stand in the presence of life. True resurrection life will swallow up death and every counterpart, sickness, infirmity, disease, plague, weakness. It doesn't matter. It gets swallowed up. What we need is a revelation, because it says, beholding him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, change, transform, same transformation that happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, transfigured into his same image from glory to glory. So if I get a revelation of who I am, I get a revelation that's what's been done. I get a revelation of the face of God. I get a revelation I'm not bound by time. I can step over into the finish line. And I can reassign my body to life. Reassign my cells to life. Reassign my bones to life. Reassign my mind to life. The Bible says he gives you power, love, and a sound mind. He says you have the mind of Christ. You think the mind of Christ, if we genuinely have it, would ever be subject to anything like dementia? Dementia is a curse. It takes away the memory. We can live in soundness all the way through. But if you're just coasting and just coasting and don't think something's not going to happen, you have to have an active faith. And if your active faith is reassigning, your days are going to be filled with long life and peace. If I reassign my soul and my heart to peace, to love, to joy, all those things are done. So we have to find the done realm. Find out what he said about it. I don't need any more one scripture when he says you have the mind of Christ. How many of you know he had the mind of Christ? We walk around, we don't have it in the natural, I mean honestly, but legally we have it. But I got to reassign. Because this mind was born under Adam's reign. This mind was subject to the law of sin and death. This mind was subject to a lot of things. A lot of images. Interwoven. This mind was subject to a lot of trauma as a kid. All this stuff affects the whole soul realm. I call it this dysfunction. This general dysfunction. If you're subject to a lot of things as a kid, you're going to have general dysfunction until you overcome. It's just going to happen because your soul was not designed to handle trauma. Your soul was designed to be loved. And when it's not loved and instead it gets trauma, things get messed up inside of there. And we believe things that we shouldn't be believing. And then the enemy comes in and he starts building things in there that have to be torn down. So as much as I want to be whole, I find out I can't be whole. So I need to reassign. I need to bury the old mind. I need to bury the old affliction, bury the trespass, bury the trauma, bury old things. Behold, I do a new thing. Say, behold. I have to have something to behold. I have to have a truth. We move by truth. Say truth. We move by the reality of the kingdom that's complete. So I'm always reassigning. If you come to Tuesdays, we do this all the time. We're reassigning. I do it every day, actually. I love to reassign because there's a freedom in it. When I'm reassigning to the day of life, I'm reassigning because my ultimate inheritance, your ultimate inheritance, when Jesus said, I come that you might have life and life abundantly. He wasn't really speaking of lifestyle, although lifestyle will come out of his life. He was talking about, I've come to reassign you to life. You don't even know you're dead yet. I'm going to awaken your spirit. Then I'm going to awaken your mind and your body. Woo! So our part, if these things, although they're ours, although they belong to us, they're not going to manifest if we don't start reckoning. Reassigning, say reckon. Reassign. You use the power of the spoken word and what you see in the realm that's done. And you by faith stand there and then command, once I get into the done realm, put this, hey, put that glow, let's just call this the glory realm.
Okay. This is the glory realm.
We caught a lot of heat with these glory calls over the years. We had people leave the church because of the glory calls. Can you believe it? They would leave the church over a glory cloth. Anyway, we stand in this realm. You have to have an image of what that looks like. My image comes from the Mount of Transfiguration. I meditate, because I know he walked in to our resurrection. He took his body, and you're in his body. He took everybody into that day of the resurrection. So I know ultimately that's what I look like. Amen. And I'm going to stand there. And as I see that day, the Mount of Transfiguration, I enter into it. Now, the more you do it, the more vibrant it becomes. The less you do it, the more dull it becomes. That's the way of faith, the way of the mountain. If you stand in the mountain, I'm preaching from over here. If you stand in the mountain, it becomes more vibrant. It's living. It's alive. If you don't, it gets very dull. So it's all a matter of point of where you stand. Where you are is just as important as what you do in faith. Your faith delivers you into where I am, there shall you be also, the Lord said. Say, where I am in the Father, where I am in the finished work, there shall you be also. He extends this continuous invitation to come be with me where I am. It's your revelation of where he is. Because where he is a moving target. To the orphan. Hang, I'll be back. To the orphan. Where I am. Is you're accepted in the beloved. I stand in the love of the Father. I've made you a son. Come and join with me into the Father's love. You see that? To an heir. To a king. You're going to have to move further in. You're going to have to go up into the throne where you've been raised together. Made to sit together. Pretty sure that's not a wooden bench you're sitting on up there. Sitting on the throne of the living God. He's given you a seat up there. What king does that? So the where I am is moving. Where I am in the life. I stand in the day of resurrection. And where I am in the resurrection, there shall you be also. But the word shall is not there. There you are also. Come. So he is over here and he's saying, come. So as I get a revelation, I come and stand, and then I begin to decree, oh body, you've been reassigned to this day. Oh bones, you've been reassigned. Oh cells, you've been reassigned. If you got pain in your body, reassign it to the liberty and the freedom. Because I'm pretty sure in a glorified body, not a single person will have any pain for eternity. I'm pretty sure that not sickness, infirmity can stand in the midst of a glorified body. Life swallows up death. It swallows up sickness, disease. Where life is, there is no pain. So reassign, amen? Do the same thing with the mind of Christ. Do the same thing with emotions. I bury the dysfunction. Just practice it. You'll be amazed. You got to do it. You got to do it. Faith is an action. It's hard to get people on the hook. The Lord is a good fisherman. When he gets you on the hook, he keeps you on the hook. The Lord's kept me on the hook for a long time because he's a promise that I am going to apprehend with him. And he hooked me years ago. We got t-shirts over this thing. And he's kept me. I might release me from this hook. God, I'm tired of this. He knows how to keep his promise. Right? He knows how to keep you on it. He has a way because it's not just about obtaining the promise. It's about your transformation along the way. It's about who you become with him. And so he asked me the other day, he said, you know why that I put you on two things? In the heavens, I'm in two things. Seriously, after, well, make me right hand of God. I hope I'm making sense here. Once I'm in the Father, when I move out of time, there's two major things I move into. I move into the day of life. You'll see it happen almost every Tuesday. And I move to the day of the crown where we've sat down. where we have been crowned together with him, the day of the seven spirits of God. Those two things. And the Lord asked me a question. He goes, you want to know what made it? Well, he didn't really ask me. He was telling me. He says, you want to know what made it work for Adam? The dominion worked with the life I gave him. I gave him the life, and the dominion operated out of the life. He goes, when I restore dominion, I restore life with it. I need you to acclimate to the life. He goes, because that's where you're all going, by the way. Every one of us got a new body, new soul, new mind, new heart, new emotions, new. Say new. Everything made new. He says, behold, all things have been made new. Old things pass away. You got to come to the place where you set your focus on what's new. If you don't see it, you won't do it. If you can see it, you go stand on the gold cloth over here. Praise God. And you stand up in this glory. And you start commanding the reassignment. I've already buried my soul at this point. Or buried the dysfunction. You're really not burying. You're just burying a system that got attached to you. You're loosening that. And you're when he says put on the new man, that's a proverbial action. I'm putting on the new man. I put on the new mind. I put on the new body. I put on the new soul. New emotions. I don't like the way I respond sometimes. I don't like the way my soul works sometimes. I really don't. I wish I had a soul that, you know, like Chuck, he's so patient all the time. Kim's going, live with him, huh? Well, he's more patient than me. How about that? Hallelujah. Because I'm like, I'm on a different frequency a lot of times. And, you know, I don't always deal with things the way I'd like to. So I find myself knee-jerking and then coming back and apologizing, you know. That's just something I want change inside of there. Anna, don't be amen to me. Just be a humble wife. Just like... But I would prefer to handle things more peacefully, more patient. Amen. I prefer that old way of dysfunction. I'm definitely not the old person I used to be. Everyone say hallelujah. I haven't ran somebody off from the church in a long time. You know, the last three people that had run off the church, Chuck ran them off. It wasn't me. Let's rejoice. Praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. It wasn't me. Chuck said, you know, I talked with this person. They left. I'm like, glory to God. He goes, what are you talking about? It wasn't me. I know. It's been a while. I'm like, you know, it's been some time. I haven't ran them off. And I mean, that's my glory. Hallelujah. But my old man would run everybody off. Little Napoleon tyrant. Well, that guy died along the way. Cheryl's going, yeah. She's been here a long time. She's seen it all. Praise God. So those things die along the way. Everyone say hallelujah. But the more we see the new man, it's like, man, I want more of that. So, but when I want to do it, I don't want to go through the crucible of the fire that it took to do that. I would rather do it by faith, because I just go and stand over there and let God call me to his glory. He said, I have power for your generation that has been reserved for your generation. He goes, he called me, he said, you are generation resurrection. You will encounter the greatest level of transformation of any other generation before you. There'll be a level of transformation of the sons and daughters of God in this generation like no other. But it's not going to be done with what presently is working. That's why we got to go to a realm of the new realm, powers of the age to come. Go stand over where it already is working. And the more you stand over there, it'll start calling old things into the new day. But if you're not standing in the new day, nothing's being called to it. You're over here just waiting for the door to open. Everybody's there. You want to be different? Get over. Stand in the glory cloth. Hallelujah. Stand in the new day. Reassign. So when you hear us reassigning, it's where you stand. It's what you see. You see that? I see. It's where I'm standing. It's what I see. I'm reassigned body. Stole too. Never forget the emotional faculty and the heart realm. All of that's got to come out from dysfunction. Come out into the new day. Anna had a long battle and she overcame big time. She had a long battle with the past. And believe me, I was a big part of that battle of the past, you know, because things get locked in there. And it was hard. It wasn't easy for her at all. I mean, it was a struggle big time, but she overcame and broke that. Let's give God glory for that. And it's just amazing. Because letting old things go, sometimes we just get so used to old things, we have to let go. Amen. But God has weaponry to help you let go. He's got an axe. He said the axe is laid at the root of the trees. He's got a winnowing fork. He said he thoroughly purges the threshing floor. He's got a two-edged sword. He's got a skilled knife of circumcision. Those are for the trigger points. Ever have a trigger? Anybody have a little trigger point? Sometimes it's just a little trigger. And it takes a skilled knife of circumcision to winnow that out. Some things have got to just, the axe has got to come down. I mean, if you belong to the axe, you're already in trouble. I mean, sometimes God, just the axe. I mean, he just lines us up one by one. One owing fork, two-edged sword, circumcision. Oh, for him, LaRue, axe it. I mean, that's the way it is. But I just can't live there, broken and busted. Because sometimes people will go through a horrible wilderness and they survive, but they're walking around broke, busted, disgusted. I mean, they're wearing it. You have to get over to the new day. Amen. So we have something with this faith. We have the face of God. We have the revelations. We have all these things God's given us. These are weaponries to get us as forerunners to the new day, where the power of transformation lives. That power, that level of transformation, the more we get subject to it, and honestly, I don't think we've even touched it really, it's going to start carving out blocks and start really bringing us from glory to glory. Say glory to glory. And it's going to start cutting things out and putting things in. Cutting things out and establishing life. If there's anything you want to go after in this generation, it's life. Because life is directly in front of us. In the face of God, it's already done. And there's only time. God can transport us right through time. Amen. Apollonia, keep that thing. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, if you're struggling with something in the flesh, you can beat yourself up over it after you've repented 1,000 times. And a lot of times you just feel like, I just keep going back and back. Or you can decide, okay, look, there's mercy with God. And I'm going to close with this. I can go to my great high priest. I can receive forgiveness, right? Once I'm forgiven, I need to do something that I haven't done before. I need to take that addiction into the Jordan and start burying that thing by faith. Not by human willpower, but by faith. I'm going to bury this addiction by faith. I'm going to bring the axe of light. Father, you thoroughly purge the threshing floor of this addiction. You may still be addicted, but start doing this. And then I'm going to reassign that addiction to life. I'm addicted to life and life abundantly. Because ultimately the addiction's trying, it's there. It came in at a certain thing. It's trying to fulfill something that only God can fill anyway. So we can start drinking from new rivers and eating from new trees. I'm telling you, we're going to start receiving the level of transformation that the world will see. That you will know. There are times we're going to start moving in the mountain of God. We're going to come out like Moses did. If he came out like that under the law, imagine you coming out under the new covenant, clothed in the glory of God. I'm going to close my second close. John G. Lake. Forerunner king priest. Wow. The glory was on him so strong. He lifted his hands and liquid glory started shooting out into the audience, liquid. And people started running to the altar, and they couldn't even get within 6 feet from them. They started piling, bodies were piling. Everyone in the building was instantly whole, made whole. Liquid glory. This happened in the early 1900s. He started the healing schools in Spokane, Washington. It became the most disease-free city in all of America during this time. And he was just accessing stuff. He just was accessing. Our generation is generation resurrection. Lift your heads, O you gates. Lift up your heads, O you everlasting doors. Psalm 24, and the King of glory is coming in. We are the generation of a witness of the glory, the life, the majestic glory of the King of Kings. Because the way when he's returning, everybody he's returning with has glorified bodies. We are to witness the day of glorification. And I truly believe with all my heart that God will raise up people to be witnesses of the glory. And the glory will be seen on the body. Isaiah, arise, shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon. The glory of the Lord is seen. I believe it's going to be seen on these bodies. If he can walk in, you can walk in. He walked into his glorification, you can walk. It's not going to remain on you, but the more you get subjected to it, it's going to change things in you. I need some of that glory on my mind. I need the glory on my emotions. I need the glory in my heart. I need the glory in my bones. Amen. Go for the glory.